MBA jobs, and it's and so I don't know exactly who it will be. And general managers, there aren't that many jobs in the league. If they end up firing Morey, which I really don't know what they're going to end up doing there. So I think that they are, they are largely stuck, and that is okay. Like, there are worse places to be stuck in the league, obviously. I mean, the Rockets were to me a second-tier title team this year, and yes, they got knocked out in kind of conspicuous fashion this year by a really good, legit tier one team. But I don't know. You could ride this out a couple of years. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, but
It's not fun, though.
Daryl Morey tends not to deal with just like riding things out.
But see, here's the thing. Like, I agree with you, and I think that Morey will, if he has the levers there, that he will do what he can. But I honestly don't know what he can do at this point. Are they going to trade Robert Covington for a center? Are they going to try to? I mean, let's say Eric Gordon. Like, I think he's the most movable piece on this roster. But is he positive value on that contract? Is he? And is he? Like, you're presumably trading small for. You're trading a shooting guard for something other than a shooting guard. And I would argue that, yeah, centers are less valuable in the abstract, but twos, they're scarce. But it's not like Eric Gordon is like, he's a like a fringe starter or sixth man. It's not like you're going to get a great center for that,
Yeah.
or a four, or whatever you want.
I haven't done enough of a deep dive into Houston to try and figure out like what their actual options are in terms of how they can try to make something like this work.
Well, especially if the tax here, I'll give this number. So, let's say Austin Rivers opts out. So he has a very, I would say a very team friendly option. And they lose, all the unrestricted free agents, their holds go off the books. The Rockets would have, including Clemens and McLemore, they would have eight players on roster. And using the estimate, I'm basically the estimate that I'm using for the cap and tax next year is identical to the current season, which actually might be optimistic. We don't know. In that case, the Rockets have eight players on the books, and they have 5.4 million under the tax. So good luck.
Well, yeah, they're going to be trading in
But what
that.
are they trading?
Well, the other problem here is like you can't move Russell Westbrook by throwing picks into a deal. Like you can't trade him to Charlotte, who has cap space, and be like, yeah, we're going to take back, Cody Zeller and, Nick Batum or whatever into a deal like that, because Charlotte probably then would want two first round picks at least to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Westbrook is less negative than those contracts in the first year, but you're adding, as Charlotte, adding $90 million after next season because Batum and Zeller both expire.
Right.
And that's a negative, that's a below value contract. So, yeah, and the Rockets don't have any good young players either. So, yeah, there's sweeteners of trouble. I just think I agree with, but so the other point of, like, when I'm saying they're stuck, I don't mean they can't make any moves, though I do think that. It's that they might do something that makes them worse. Like, it's like basically the idea is doing something is better than doing
Well,
nothing, even if.
I guess the where I come with at this is like, I do wonder if we're closer to like a decision being made on James Harden than what people think. And by that, I mean, like, I'm not saying that the Rockets are going to trade James Harden this summer. I don't think they are. But are we a year away from that being a real discussion?
Yes.
I think we are too. Like, I think that that is, if I think that, I think they probably run it back this year. But if it doesn't quite work out to the way they want to, you probably move Harden and see what happens.
Right, and at that point, some of their other contracts are less onerous. There's only 2 years left, let's say, instead of three for some of those deals, and maybe they look better. And maybe by that point we're rosier on where the salary cap and luxury tax are going in the future, so that money looks more manageable. You get into those circumstances. Also, we don't know what kind of year Harden's going to have next season. I mean, I'm very interested in what that'll look like. And so, I mean, I think that, yeah, I think that the basically probably holding pattern for 1 year, then potentially large scale renovations, but. I don't know that for sure. But I just think they're in a tough spot.
They're in probably, I think you put it best when you said they're in the most inflexible spot in the league. I don't know that they're in the toughest spot because they're winning games. They're like a 50-win team right now, right? And there are worse places to be, but they're in a very difficult spot. And they're in a tricky spot from a team-building perspective, particularly. So, Danny, on that note, let's get out of here. Please tell the people where they can find your work. Tell the people what's going on in your life.
There are a bunch of different places. I mean, so my written work is all at The Athletic. You can check that out. Doing team-by-team previews, largely tied with when they're eliminated, but not entirely, because there's a lot going on. And then the new project, so Dunked On, the podcast to do with Nate Duncan, we've transitioned from being public 5 days a week to now we are, it's called Dunked On Prime, we are private 4 days a week and public once we actually did almost a 2-hour podcast. Those are going to be Sunday night, Monday morning. So you can listen to the one we did on Clippers Nuggets, previewing the Eastern Conference Finals, and then we did a free agency preview as well. So you can listen to those, and then Dunked On Prime is a monthly or yearly subscription, and that's where you get all of our stuff now. And then Real GM Radio is the podcast that I do. That's still public 100% with Real GM. I have a guest on. Sam's on it fairly frequently. And follow me on Twitter at Danny LaRoux, DannyLeroux, for anything else.
Danny, have you started watching Selling Sunset yet?
I have not.
Oh, it's taken over my life. I think on Thursday, or at least the next podcast I do this week, I might have to have someone on that's like just fully watched Selling Sunset because it's the most ridiculous show. It's basically like this real estate group that sells properties in the Hollywood Hills and in Beverly Hills and stuff. You know, these properties go from like anywhere from $2 to $75 million.
Okay.
And it's like also a docudrama involving like the women and their difficulties in life. And
okay,
between the just real estate that gets shown, like I was like 90% watching it for the real estate originally, because I'm like one of those people who constantly looks at real estate in my spare time and, you know, looks at houses and finds the whole thing fascinating. I've now become entrenched in these women's lives and I need to know more about what's going on at all times. I've gone on like deep dives into like Google searches now. It's taking over my life.
Well, maybe at some point we'll have that to talk about.
Yeah. Danny, it's good to talk to you. This has been the Game Theory Podcast. Please remember, rate, review, subscribe. Do everything that you can to support the show. We'll be back later this week with more. But until next time, we will talk soon. Bye.